marketing not enough? Because our local petrol station rebranded a while ago with a lovely new green logo. And since then, I've just felt our car has polluted maybe 80 to 90% less. Food news now, and a new study has suggested that every time a person eats a hot dog, their death gets 36 minutes closer. Or, they didn't use those terms. I said it shortens their life by 36 minutes of quality lifetime. But still, I like to think it is bringing the moment of annihilation closer. A bit of salmon adds 16 minutes. Apparently, I could have told you that for free from my great uncle, Ermenduke, who ate a piece of salmon every quarter of an hour and lived to the age of 119. Albeit that he spent the last 43 years of his life in a palliative care unit next to a salmon farm. A double cheeseburger knocks off 8 minutes 48 seconds, but can be counterbalanced by smearing it with 2/3 of a banana. Yum, that will balance out your cheeseburger, so it will neither add nor take away from your life. A hot dog at 36 minutes is one of the most effective life-shortening foods, but if hanging around forever to watch the planet burn is your bag, then simply make sure you eat 14 avocados with every hot dog. That puts you 3 minutes 12 seconds in credits per meal at 3 meals per day. After 80 years, you should be looking at living to the ripe old age of 112. Whilst if you eat a kilogram of nuts on the hour, every hour, you will never die. On the other hand, if you love chili con carne, one of the magical life-extending foods, according to the report, but cannot face the prospect of eternal life and watching all your hot dog-loving friends happily die off in a fug of mustard and ketchup fumes, shouting, je ne regrette rien, as they squirt a final squadge of tomato sauce on their departing dog, then make sure you belt down a bucket of chicken wings at the same time to keep the Reaper interested. I mean, it's nice to know that we have control through our diet over exactly when we're going to cark it.
I mean, this is my favourite kind of story, Andy, because my favourite kind of story is the story that raises the question, who are these evil scientists? Who's feeding people hot dogs with a timer with a skull on the front of it?
That sounds like perfect OnlyFans content.
It does really make you worry for Joey Chestnut, the undisputed Don Bradman of speed eating, who, you know, gets through, what was it, 70 odd hot dogs in 10 minutes. I mean, that's, I'm gonna have to do some maths here. So I mean, every time Joey Chestnut smashes a record for hot dog eating, what's that,
2520?
That's, I mean, it's almost 2 days of his life he's sacrificing for our entertainment.
worth it.
Yeah, and when I say entertainment, I mean deep visceral revulsion. Brain news now, and a tiny human brain has been grown in a laboratory that has little eye things that can see light. Alice, you are our obvious end-of-the-world correspondent. Have these f***ers never watched a horror film? I mean, seriously, small blobules of human brain grown, for whatever f***ing reason, in some kind of dish by power-crazed science wonks. And they've coaxed them into speed-evoluting rudimentary eyes. What the fuck are these people thinking?
Again, one of my favourite kinds of stories, the story of the evil scientist who grows little brain organelles in a dish. And then I think the turn of phrase that I enjoy the most is that these little brain organelles, blobs of artificial brain tissue grown in a dish, have been coaxed into forming rudimentary eyes. Which I feel coaxed covers a multitude of sins in which they're sort of zapping and screaming at these tiny little non-brains. But these rudimentary eyes are totally functional. They respond to light by sending signals to the rest of the brain tissue, raising the question of, oh God, what have we created? Any of the outcomes from here are either going to be amazing or horrifying, and probably both. But the reason that I love this story so much is I want everybody who's listening to this right now to look up how incredibly cute they are.
wait till they're popped into the head of one of those Boston Dynamic robo dogs. You'll think they're less cute.
Or the Tesla
then.
Bot that's coming out next year.
So these eyes apparently respond to light by sending signals to the rest of the blob of brain tissue in the petri dish. And you know, the upshot of all this according to scientists, is obviously the inevitable destruction of our species by marauding herds of flesh-eating, giant-eyed, hyper-blob mega-brains that will obviously kill us all. But, I mean, that's some way down the line. I guess, you know, it might have some kind of medical use, but, I mean, that's not your first reaction. I mean, the first reaction is, for fuck's sake, stop doing this kind of shit. And, in fact, I'm just hearing now that some of the blobules of human brain have escaped from the laboratory and stormed the Capitol building, claiming that an election has been rigged.
I cannot disagree with you more, Andy. I feel like the inevitable outcome is the creation of Krang, the charming villain in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is just a brain in a robot case. And I can't wait.
This feels like that time, and there was a story that, I don't know why it reminded me of this, but they put 3D glasses on cuttlefish. Was a New Scientist special as right. well to prove that they sense depth just like us. So you just see a cuttlefish sort of banging itself off of like, well, not banging itself, I suppose, because they've got depth perception, but just like wandering the four corners of its tank going, well, this is too small. is wandering the correct word for a cuttlefish? Like sort of...
Oh, I don't know, actually.
It's sort of... They what does it do? Ripples,
about, don't they?
Yeah, they ripple and swoosh.
I did, just before this lockdown, actually attend a 4D screening of the new Mortal Kombat movie, which is even worse than 3D screening because you sit in a chair and then whenever anything happens, it punches you in the kidneys and then sprays water on your face. It's genuinely the worst cinematic experience of my life. Sometimes it just blows air on the back of your neck like a creep.
Sounds like two teenagers on a date at the cinema.
It's the worst.
Wait till you put your hand in the popcorn, Alice.
Well, that brings us to the end of this week's Bugle. It's nice to be back. We will be shifting to Monday recordings for the next few weeks due to initially cricket and then the return of the news quiz. Don't forget the Bugle live show on Tuesday the 7th of September in London at the Underbelly's Earl's Court venue, the London Wonderground. Will feature me, Chris Addison, and via the wonders of the internet, Alice Fraser. Before I play you out some lies about our premium level voluntary subscribers, to join them, go to thebuglepodcast.com and click the donate button to make a one-off or recurring contribution to help keep the show free, flourishing and independent. Are there any shows, Alice and Tiff, that you'd like to alert our listeners to?
Old Rope is back on the 6th of September. So check my Twitter and Old Rope's Twitter for details of lineups, etc. A day before the Bugle returns, so you could have the best Monday and Tuesday of your life. I think I'm doing a show at the London Wonderground as well, early September, I think maybe the 4th. So yeah, so check those out.
And I have a weekly show called The Gargle, which is the glossy magazine to this audio newspaper for a visual world. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at alliterative, A-L-I-T-E-R-A-T-I-V-E, or patreon.com/AliceFraser, where I have all of my stand-up specials, podcasts and blogs, as well as my weekly Tea with Alice salons, where we all just hang out and have a nice chat.
Anuvab Pal has a run at Soho Theatre in the first week or so of September, so do check that out as well. Well, Buglers, until next week, goodbye. Here now are some lies. Keith Cowans believes that for one day a year, everyone should have to dress up in a chicken costume in order that we better understand what chickens have to put up with in life. I think we'd respect the chicken more if we stood in their shoes for a while, says Keith. Since they don't wear shoes, a chicken costume will have to do. And not just chickens either, he continues. All species. I just happen to have a lot of chicken outfits. Don't ask. Long story. Elizabeth Ryan is worried about the environmental impact of floodlights at sporting events and wishes players would each wear individual floodlight helmets instead of relying on massive pylons blasting out light for everyone all at once. I think it would make the sport more interesting too. and players who knew they weren't really contributing much could turn off their lights. We see enough sport when the players can see exactly what they're doing, so let's see someone they can't. It might be interesting. Besides, it should help people keep a steady head position too. Yet another correspondent, who claims to be named Muammar Gaddafi, enjoys cooking not so much for the food or the craft, but because he enjoys the percussive opportunities offered by something that involves A, wooden spoons, and B, metal saucepans. I like to finish dishes with a dramatic drum roll, explains Muammar, and I only ever actually use the lids of saucepans as cymbals. Cost me a few jobs in restaurant kitchens back in the day, but I'm sticking with it. Louisa Jeffrey enjoyed the recent Olympic Games, but feels that there should be scope for an event in which participants windsurf through the streets of the host city on skateboards, using umbrellas to catch the wind, dressed as Mary Poppins. Let's face it, says Louisa, it wouldn't be nearly the silliest event at the Games, and it's what Julie Andrews would have wanted, I assume. Mind you, you'd have to be very careful exactly what was going into that spoonful of sugar. You know athletes. And finally, Al Barker is rightly suspicious of trees. I wonder what their long-term game is, says Al. They've seen a lot, but they give away so little. I don't trust things that are so tall, so unapologetically stationary, and yet so quiet. Evolutionarily, I reckon they think we're a lot of Johnny-come-lately chumps and are playing the long game. Whatever, I'm not happy about having one that stares at me whenever I pass it near where I live. Here endeth this week's Lies.